Good morning. Trust each of you is doing well this morning. I count this as a privilege to be granted this opportunity to bring God's word to our church this morning. I want to continuously thank the leadership of this church for granting me opportunities to serve in various capacities. And I feel very strongly as a part of this church. Please turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm reading two verses this morning. Verses 10 and 11. The Word of God. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. And whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, grant us wisdom to bring forth your word by your grace. My prayer this morning, O God, our ever-living God, is that the worker will decrease, that you will increase. Hide me behind the cross, and may your words be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Alvin is an 18-year-old in the student ministry. Alvin has been a Christian for about 3 to 4 years, having been converted through his youth group. Alvin volunteers as a leader of the youth group, and one thing is certain, you can depend on Alvin. Janet is a 67-year-old retiree. Oh, Janet is still energetic, and energetic enough in bursts, at least, to be keen in continuing her ministry of small group leader. Barry is in his 70s. Now, since Barry became since Barry became a Christian, he has always volunteered in one ministry or the other in his local church. In the last 4 years, Barry has been leading a Sunday school class at his church. Barry is a great encourager of people, Christians and non-Christians alike. Worship, connect, serve, and impact. Where do you see these words? Where do you see them? Worship, connect, serve, and impact. Ah, at the sign, and also in your bulletin and on the website, that's why what this church stands for. We come in here to worship, then we connect in small groups or Bible study groups or stuff, Sunday school groups, and then we serve. We serve, and it is hoped that our service will impact God's people. Those who are Christians and those who are yet to become Christians. Now, I mentioned three individuals. A youth who was in the student ministry and two, not students, older folks. One thing all three have in common. They are all people with a ministry in God's church. And I mean the local church, because we as Christians are the church. They are all people who desire to know how to serve God better and how to serve God's people, the church, better. They are servants of the living God. Today, I want to encourage us, especially those of us who have crossed over from damnation, from the dominion of sin, into the everlasting light of God's kingdom. I want to encourage us, those of us who are serving, oh, thank you, Jay and your group. You know, I don't play any musical instrument like some of you here, but I'm blessed when I hear very good tunes, especially in worship to the Lord. I love music. I used to sing. I'm not coming in the choir, please. I mean, in college and in church, I sang in duets, in trios, in quartet, in small groups. In fact, our main small group, our youth group then, was called the Gospel Soul Starers. Every time we sang, we wanted to stare the souls of people to come from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But before we delve into my encouragement, my challenge to you about our call to service, I want us to look at a little bit of background, brief background to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, would you please look there with me? The author is identified as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Hermeneutics teaches me that when you see such stuff, you try to find out a little bit more. And as I dug and studied, I realized this is no other Peter, but the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who witnessed, who was with Christ in his earthly ministry, witnessed Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, and his glorious ascension. This Peter was once a fisherman, but now was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read the book of Acts, you will see how much Peter, as he walked with the Lord, served the Lord. Peter understands the inner workings of the church. Remember in Acts chapter 12, when James was killed, Peter was imprisoned. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it continues, that is the audience of this letter, the recipients of this letter, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter was writing to Christians who were scattered around, who had witnessed suffering. But then, fast forward with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Some of your Bible caption this chapter, at least the first 12 verses, as stewards of God's grace. I could not thank Jay for the selection of the songs for this morning. The grace of God and the glory of God. The two G's. GG. God's grace should lead us to God's glory. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? In chapter 4, Peter urges Christians to be fiercely committed to the purpose of their lives in Jesus Christ. And I mean fiercely, because they were experiencing suffering. When suffering comes in our lives, it is easier, or it is so common, for us to look to God and say, "Where are you?" And one thing I've learned in my Christian walk over the years, and I became a Christian when I was 17. Now I'm 62. Yes, I'm 62. One thing I've learned is that if God seems far away from me, who moved? I moved. God is always there. But because of my reactions and my actions, I move away from God. Are you with me? I like that. Peter was trying to tell this guy, say, look, you know, you were saved by grace, and you are living by grace, and no matter what happens, think about Christ and live for Christ. Because what you think controls how you behave. That is a philosophical statement, but it's also a biblical truth. Let this mind be in you. Romans 12, 1 says, by the renewing of your mind. There are so many things happening around us, brothers and sisters. So many things that can cloud our thinking, our minds. That can distract us from focusing on God. For the last 30 plus years, that is not a day, and I'm not bragging. It has become a part and parcel of my life. There is not a day I wake up from my bed, open my bedroom door, go out and start doing stuff without spending time in the Word and prayer. Because if I want to be a mighty servant of the Lord, I got to connect with the Lord at the start of my day. Because you know, my brothers and sisters, when you get out there, sometimes your workplace can be one of the worst places for you to be at the start of your day. But once I've connected with my God and I know it's time for me to serve, when my boss or my colleagues say things that will tick me off, and they do tick me off. Oh, you don't want to say I ticked off D. A ticked off D is not a nice D. It can become dynamite. Come on, man, I'm human now. That dude who's preaching, he gets mad. Yeah, I get mad sometimes. In fact, my colleagues, the other day I was so mad, they didn't tell me about the change of plans. And we were supposed to go out on a picnic. I came in my shorts, you know, with my light t-shirt, because I always wear a jacket when I go to work. And I got there, everyone was dressed up. And I'm looking like one dumb knucklehead. And I said, what happened? And I said, oh, the plans have changed. Change? Come on, man, I'm one of the executives here. At least someone can send me a text. And they said, look at your legs, D. And I told them, I'm mad. From that day on, when they see me, they say, I'm mad. You know, they don't call me D anymore. They say, I'm mad. Anyway, so for me to connect to serve my God, I connect with him in the morning. For some of you, maybe it's later in the day. Is there such a thing as an inactive church member? Yeah. How can... Okay. Anyway, let me stop meddling. No, I will. Because I can't understand how someone is saved, became a member of a church, and just attend church services Sunday in and Sunday out, give your tithes and your offerings, and not get engaged. Amen. And not volunteer. Whenever I hear announcement about volunteers, we need volunteers, it takes me off. Because we should be going to the church leaders and saying, how can I volunteer? Oh, D, you don't understand. I'm so busy, you know. What is better? The busier place to be, is in serving the Lord. Because you know what? I was going to be preaching on impact this Sunday. But this month, three of my colleagues that I grew up with in Africa died. One of them, just instantly, I got the message. I was eating. When they called me, I said, D, are you sitting or are you standing? Then I knew it was a bad call. And they told me about this brother's death. I yelled. I cried. I said, God, what is life? Yeah, today, gone tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing better than serving the Lord, dying in the Lord's ministry. So, if you are in the church and you are inactive, think again. In these two verses, Peter, at least I deduce three things that Peter is putting across about service, our call to service. The first is that God has endowed every Christian with a gift. Let's look at it. This is not me talking. This is not me. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4. It is not thee. The word of God, the sacred word of God, the unadulterated word of God, the uncompromising word of God, the infallible word of God. He says, verse 10, as each has received a gift. Just pause there. God has endowed, he was talking to these Christians, and he said, as each has received a gift. God has endowed every Christian with a gift. Who here doesn't like a gift? I came to the States in 2001. I was doing my doctorate, and folks would pick me up. And one day, the pastor of the church where we were attending called me and said, D, we understand you don't have a car. I said, of course I don't. And he walked me behind the church. He said, someone gave you a gift. What? My first Ford. You know, I would not call the make, I mean the model, because you would start laughing. But I had a gift. And I drove that thing home, parked it in the driveway. I said, Bindu, we got a gift. She said, what gift? No, she didn't talk like me. What gift? What kind of gift? Anyway, I showed her the stuff and we hugged, we kissed. You know, we're so happy we have a car. A gift. The Bible says, as each has received a gift. Are you following the trend? Let me unpack that for us. It says, it's not saying some have received gifts, or the most holy Christians have received gifts, or the brightest and most excellent have received gifts. No, it says, as each has received gift. Amen? God has endowed every one of us. You that are looking at me eyeball to eyeball to eyeball, you have received a gift. And the greatest gift we received is the gift of salvation. God hasn't overlooked you or shortchanged you. You have been given a good gift. God has endowed, believe me, you have a gift. It is a gift that you've not earned. You've not earned it. It is a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says what? For by grace are you saved. You'll be saved by grace. Not of works. It is a gift of God. Lest any one of us should boast. You know why? Do you understand why he says it is a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast? You see, people who are not Christians, when they have a talent, they draw attention to themselves. Huh? They draw attention to themselves. We'll talk about attention, where the attention should go later. And brothers and sisters, God not only showed us grace when Jesus died on the cross to atone for our sins, but he continues to demonstrate his grace to us by offering us a gift. So now we have established that God has endowed each of us with a gift, right? That is clear, right? What is the expectation? It is expected that every Christian will use his or her gift. So the second point is that it is expected that each of us will use our gift. It says, as each one has received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another. This little light of mine. Now, Jay's ears are pricked because he said, maybe this guy will sing an alto for me, you know, in my choir. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under the bushel. Hide it under the bushel. No. No. God has given you a gift. He expects you to use it to serve one another. You are not supposed to hide it. Some of you are hiding your gifts right now. Am I talking to you? You know you have a gift, but you are hiding it. Yes, all of us have been given a gift. Our service might not be the same. Our service might not be the same. Let's look at verse 11. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Do you notice something? Peter says that each one of us has been given a gift. But he puts the gifts, all of the gifts, in two categories. Whoever speaks and whoever serves. Wait a minute, Peter, what are you driving at here? Well, if scripture interprets scripture, what you would do in this instance is to start looking what other scriptures of the Bible talk about gifts. And that's where you will go to places like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, to find out what the other gifts are. What Peter was saying that all of these gifts can be categorized under these two. Speaking and service. Speaking gifts. Brothers and sisters, whenever you talk, Whenever you say something to someone, make sure that it is seasoned with salt. Because you are a witness. Let your light so shine. I remember a couple of months ago, we were in an executive leadership meeting. And there were disagreements amongst two of my colleagues. I'm looking at them, they're just going at each other. And the devil whispers a word in my ear, says, "Say." And the Spirit of God says, "No, that's not what you're supposed to say." And I listened, I obeyed the Spirit of God, and I calmed down the situation with words of wisdom. After the meeting, the two guys came to me separately and said, "D, thanks." I said, "If you guys knew what I wanted to say to two of you, you would not be telling me thanks." And one of the things I wanted to say was that you guys are stupid. But God held the word stupid from me and just tell him, "Hey, chill. Watch your speech." Then, I could go on and on about speaking gifts, preaching, teaching. But I just want to give you a broad sweep. Not only speaking gifts, but serving gifts. Oh, there's a plethora of serving gifts. Whether it is working up front or behind the scenes, the Bible says, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Not everyone is called to preach or teach. But one thing is clear. Whatever your gift is, you are to be a good steward of that gift. In my country and many other countries, the cabinet of the president are called ministers. In the great United States, where I became a citizen, in case ICE is listening. Yes. April 27, 2010. That was the date. In this country, those who serve the president are called secretaries. Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of... You know what is common amongst ministers and secretaries? Do you know what is common? One common thing is that all of these guys, the ministers and the secretaries, serve under an authority. They serve under an authority. Who is they? President of the United States, and ultimately the citizens of the nation. You study the word minister, you will find out that it is all about service. A minister is a servant of God. Unfortunately, secretary of this, minister of that, usually they try to wield their own authority and their own power, and they say, "Look at me. I am that I am." No, you are not who you are. Because you know what? Your life is like a mist, James says. You are given a gift to serve one another. But ultimately, in our final point, one is that God has endowed each of us with a gift. God expects us to use our gift to serve one another. But most especially, let's look at the Bible again. In verse 11b, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Your service, Your gifts that have been given to you and to me are to exalt God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Ah, I love that amen. Thank you. Bro, don't be shy. This church, sometimes when you say amen, they look at you. Say it, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you can imagine if the choir comes here to sing and they want to sing an amen or hallelujah, but amen, hallelujah. You know, you will not get, they shout it out from the bottom of their guts. You know, my music teacher used to say, sing deep from your diaphragm. I said, what is it they call diaphragm? And then we did a autonomy, you know, and everything. And I said, oh, come on, diaphragm. Okay, I will sing from my diaphragm. In other words, in everything, this is some things, a few things, a number of things, in everything that God may be glorified. As Christians, everything that we do or do not do reflects upon our Savior Jesus Christ. The goal of our service ought to be to honor and glorify God rather than ourselves. All spiritual gifts and ministries of God's word, not just preaching, but Christ is exalted through the proper exercise of our gifts. God has graciously given us gifts. Therefore, He, not anyone else, should be exalted with our gifts. We read in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify you. And glorify you? No, and glorify God, our Father, who is in heaven. So I submit to you this morning. I saw someone yawning, and I wanted to yawn, you know, because it is contagious. Don't worry, bro. I caught you. I caught you yawning. I caught you. I will soon be done, so you can go home and take your little Sunday siesta. Because that's what I'm going to do. Let me submit to you. There is nothing, there should be nothing ever as an inactive church member. Did you hear what I said? There should be nothing as an inactive church member. There are so many opportunities in this church to use that one gift or several gifts that God has given to you. Not for your own good, but for His glory. 2 years ago, I came back from Africa where I served in various capacities. And I came and said, you know what? I'll go visit. We just live down the road here at Stetson Hills. I said, let me go and visit Vista Grande Baptist Church. For some reason, every time I drove by, I said, Vista Grande. It sounded something about the church name was something to my mind, you know? Anyway, I came in. And I came in with one primary objective. Yes, uno objective. One, numero uno. And that is, listen carefully, that is to blend in and just be inactive, just come and see and leave. And that's what I wanted to do, you know, because I've been serving the church for so many years in different countries. And I said, you know, I just want to just go in and watch around. And the moment I said, amen, I'm gone. Well, God had other plans. At the end of the service, one old dude in this church walked to me and said, hi. And he introduced himself and gave me his card. And he says, I teach a Sunday school class downstairs. I said, and so? What should I do about that? He said, you are invited. I said, okay, I didn't plan to go to any Sunday school today. This guy didn't realize I came to blend in, you know? I mean, what's wrong with this guy? Can you see that I came to blend in? As I walked, I left him, got his card, put it in my wallet. As I was going through the main entrance, guess who walked to me? Pastor Chris. Say, hey, brother. I'm not your brother. How does the guy know I'm a brother? Through the eyes of faith. Anyway, he said, hey, brother, how you doing? I introduced myself. And then finally realized, oh, loudmouth D. Walker. I told him the school I graduated from and everything. He said, oh, some of my profs are from that school. He said, are you a missionary? Are you? I said, oh, my gosh, this guy is asking a lot of questions now. Yeah. You know? Oh, my. Are you a missionary? I wanted to say no. You know? Then I say, yeah, I'm a missionary. He said, this is your first day here? I said, yeah. He said, I'm teaching us a Wednesday Bible, evening Bible study. I'm inviting you to come. I said, huh? One service, two people invited me. God, I came to blend in. I'm still blending in, as you can see. But the point I'm trying to make, we do not need to wait for a ministry fair in this church to sign up to use our gift. God used those two men to just remind me that he called me, he gifted me, so that I can help bring people to the Lord, encourage people for their good and to his glory. Amen? Amen? With all the folks that we have in this church, gifted people, there is no need why we should be making announcements for volunteers. I don't think you heard me. There is no need. Yeah, some of you say, look, D, you don't understand. I'm Hebrews 10:25 Christian. You know, I'm not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some people are doing, you know, as the manner of some are, you know. Some people don't come to church, they say they are Christians. At least I come to church, I pay my tithe, and, you know, I pay my offering, and then immediately after, I zoom out. Thank you, bro. That's a good response. But the Bible says you have been given a gift so that you can, it's expected that you will use it to the glory of God. What you're going to see is not exhaustive. It's a list of spiritual gifts, and I will conclude. We may disagree on a lot of things, but not on the biblical fact that God has endowed each of us with at least one gift, and he expects us to use it. I'm not going to go through that. You got power. I didn't put preaching there. Okay, preaching is not there. But shepherding, no, that's leading people. Service, health, yeah. You have one of those. If for any reason you will not use it to the glory of God, then you will have to give an account when you get to heaven. Yes, I'm taking it on a guilt trip. But now, on a very serious note, we are gifted in this church. My prayer is that even today, you will walk to one of these ministers and say, how can I glorify God? How can I glorify God by the use of my gift? Because you see, you've been endowed, you're expected to use it so that God is exalted. That's ultimate, right? But as God is exalted, guess what is happening? God's kingdom is being expanded, both locally and globally. Let us pray.